I'm just tickled that Brother Joshua, who I have a soft spot for because he's out of our church in Corpus, but he has the privilege of preaching tonight over at Brother Van Zandt's church in Rome, and so Mom and Dad went over there to support him, and so we're missing part of our amen section, so you have to make that up. Amen. And if you can't say amen tonight, then say, oh, me. And let's just go ahead and get right into it. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I do not have a flowery introduction. You know what we're preaching on. We're preaching a series on the armor of God. I'm just going to jump right into it. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to pick up in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. The Word of God says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Let's pray. Our Father, as we come before you this evening, we do ask you once again just to fill each of us from the pulpit to the pew with your Spirit. Lord, we can stand here and give a sermon, and we can sit there and listen to a sermon, but if you don't touch hearts, then it's all for naught. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. Help me not to say anything that's not needful, and to say only those things that would edify and build up and things that would glorify you. Please use us tonight, all of us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've established a couple of facts so far in this series. One thing I've learned, too, about myself, I can actually do an 8-page sermon if I stick to the 8 pages. If I stick to it. So again, I have a lot that I really want to say, and if I don't stick to this, I'll be chasing rabbits, and I'll never get through it. So, again, I'm going to be looking down. I'm older now, and I can't remember just keywords that I put on the paper. Okay, I see that keyword, what I put it there for. It happens. The struggle is real. So, thank you, ma'am. So we have established a couple of facts so far in this series on the armor of God. The facts are, number one, the evil day spoken of in verse 13 is not some obscure day off in the distant future that we are to prepare ourselves for. Every day is an evil day because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He is the god of this world. And John 15:19 says, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Now, if we live according to this word, the world's not going to embrace you. You see it more and more each and every day. The world is not embracing true Christianity. 1 John 2:16 says, "All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So, we not only have this unseen battle working against us 24/7, but also, everything that we can see as we live in this world is affected by Satan and is designed by him to keep us from living a life that glorifies God. The second fact that we establish is that we are not commissioned by God to make war against Satan while we live here upon the earth. It's not our priority. We are told in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We're told in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, to be girt about the loins with truth. That means to strap on the belt of truth. We talked about that last week. Strap on the belt of truth. Insulate ourselves. Wrap ourselves in truth. And then to put on the breastplate of righteousness, that is to live out that truth in our daily lives. Live right, do right, say right, be right all the time, every day, in everything we do. Truth ought to permeate our lives. Truth ought to legislate, regulate, govern everything that we do, from the things we watch on television, Amen. To the things we read, to the conversations we have, to the friends we hang out with, to the people we marry. Right. Everything. Truth ought to regulate everything we do. And again, truth and righteousness work together. What good is truth if we don't apply it? 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffeth up. Wisdom is the ability to discern and apply truth. Just because we're old and can memorize a bunch of Bible, we can read the Bible, doesn't mean we're wise. Wisdom is the ability to discern and apply the truth. Now, none of these armor items that we're going to be talking about stand alone. They all work together. So we come to verse 15, where we're going to pick up tonight, and the Word of God says, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm not going to be able to get to the shield of faith tonight. I'm only going to focus on this portion, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So if we live in truth and our walk matches our talk, then God will open opportunities to share the gospel, which as disciples of Christ is our ultimate goal. As you remember, I should have established a third fact. That third fact was that if we put this armor on, God will fight for us through this armor. He'll fight the battle for us. He tells us to put this armor on. It's defensive. Everything you see in here is defensive. The Word of God, I will say this. Pastor and I actually had a little discussion, and it was just a quick little. We talked about the Word of God being it is a weapon, but it is the Holy Spirit's weapon, but it must be in conjunction with us. He can't use it if we're not allowing the Word of God to dwell in us, if we're not memorizing the Word of God. It is a weapon, but it doesn't work by itself, and while we have to put it in us, it's the Holy Spirit that has to use it. All of these work together, all of them. And if we live in truth and our walk matches our talk, then God will open opportunities to share the gospel, which, as disciples of Christ, is our ultimate goal. It is our ultimate goal. And you can agree with that or not agree with it, but that does not change the fact that as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, if you are saved, your ultimate goal is to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came into the world to save sinners, period. He saved you. He saved me. And guess what? He didn't want to stop with just me and you. The Word of God tells us in 1 Timothy 2, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. 1 John 2:2, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so hopefully, and I don't believe this about us, surely we're not so selfish that we have the cure, the answer for man's worst problem, but refuse to share it. Surely that's not our commentary. Surely that's not a commentary on our life as a Christian. Surely it's not. Now, last week we said that God did not give us marching orders to storm the gates of hell. He literally said in Matthew 16, 18, I say unto thee, he was talking to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, I will build my church. He will build his church. The church is the New Testament program that Jesus established to reach the world with the gospel. Amen. It's it. Whether it's across the seas in Uganda or whether it's here in Haslett. The church is to do that job. Now, how does Christ build His church? With people. He uses us because it is a living organism. It is a body. He uses us to mobilize the church of God, the body of Christ, and to go into the local community and to go into the world and to spread the gospel to every creature. Now, there's not a one of us in here who would deny that the people make up the church. We all agree with that. Everybody in here would say, well, the church isn't the building. The church is the people. Well, amen. Well, the church has a job. The church has a commission. And if you're a member of this church, you are the church. Amen. And you have a job. We all have a job. I'm not just pointing this at you. We all have a job. So how does He use us then? Romans 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Don't let that word preacher trip you up. That just means a harbinger. It just means a messenger. That just means someone who's telling the gospel. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, you have been sent. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. I'm not talking about being sent to Uganda, although we've got a great team going to Uganda, and guess what they're going to be doing for the next 10 days? Sharing the gospel. He says, teaching them. Or how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How does he use this? Mark 16, 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How does he use this? Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Taking the gospel to the ends of the earth and across the street is our marching order from our general. That is our marching order. Now, consider this thought. If we live a hypocritical lifestyle, people will not hear our witness. We cannot preach cream and live skim milk. People are not stupid. They will see right through that. They won't listen to you at all. Not everyone we tell will hear or listen. There's no doubt. That is a fact. But they will be more open to listen if we are living a life that honors God than if we aren't. And so we are told to live out the truths of the Word of God daily. That's the first two portions of the armor. Live out the truth daily while having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So you see how one works with the other two? The whole purpose for living upon this earth after we are saved is to share the gospel with others. Whatever your role is in life, we are to use it as a means to an end. Whatever your profession, whatever your career, it is a means to an end. It's not the end in and of itself. It's a means to the end. But the Holy Spirit is saying more than just meet up on Tuesday morning or Tuesday night or Saturday morning to go knock some doors or follow up on visits or to hand out new move-in bags. And all of that is good in and of itself. It's hooks in the water, amen? And they're good hooks. But that's not necessarily what all he's saying, because I realize that not everybody can do those. I'm not giving you an out. I'm just saying it's a fact. Not everybody can. One of the things that I had to come to terms with as a pastor, I wrote down a whole list of things that I had learned, and of course I stopped the book 20 years too early. But one of the things that I wrote, and a lot of them I'll never forget, but one of them I wrote I know I will never forget is this. If people honestly cannot make the program, have more sympathy for the people than the program. And in conjunction with that is understand that not everybody can make everything every time. Not everybody can make it to every service every time. Pastors take that personal, and we have to learn not to. But it's just fact of life. So the Holy Spirit is saying, it's more than just meeting up on Tuesdays. I believe that the key to interpreting what Paul had in mind here is found in the word preparation. Preparation. Now, the word preparation, now follow me right here. A little bit of Bible study. The word preparation is found in the New Testament seven times. That's it. Seven times. Now, six out of those seven times, it is used in reference to the Passover and the preparation day or the day of preparation. In all six instances, it uses the same Greek word which speaks of making ready through external means. All six times. Only in this verse, in Ephesians 6:15, only in this verse is a totally different Greek word used, which is translated preparation, which literally speaks of internal readiness. The other six speak of making ready externally, getting things ready for the preparation day. But in this passage, he's talking about an internal readiness. So look quickly with me at Luke chapter 22. I want to show you just a verse real quick here, three verses. Luke 22, turn there real quick. Luke chapter 22. Say amen when you get there. I'm going to have you turn to another verse here in a little while, but I'll be reading most of our verses here. But look at Luke 22. Say amen when you get there. All right, look at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he, Peter, said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. He said, I am ready. That word ready is from the same Greek word that is translated into the English word preparation. Same Greek word, internal readiness. Peter was saying, Lord, I'm ready. My heart is with you. My mind is with you. I'm all yours. I'm all in. Of course, we know he wasn't quite as in as he thought he was, but how many of you believe he believed he was? There was an internal readiness. Peter said, I'm ready to die with you, Lord. I would never deny you. An internal readiness. Like the missionary said on Sunday, we need to ask God to give us a burden to see people as either lost or saved. And if we determine that they are lost, then we need to ask God to break our hearts and help us to grieve over their condition to the point that we are willing to do something about it. For their sake, yes, but for Christ's sake and the kingdom's sake. This is His cause. This is what He gave His life for. This is what He shed His blood for. This is why He hung between heaven and earth, humiliated and shamed, bleeding and dying. Let us have the attitude, every person we meet is someone my best friend died to save. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? We don't mind grabbing a hold of that Bible and say, I got the truth. And we'll even walk out into our workplace and live it. And yet it wouldn't bother us a bit to go an entire year and never tell one person about Jesus Christ. What are we waiting for? If you are living a godly life, and I believe that many of you are, if not all of you, trust that God is creating around you and within your sphere of influence, He's creating opportunities for you to share the gospel. If you're, it works together. If you embody the truth, and if you've strapped on the breastplate of righteousness, if you're living what you believe, that's for a reason. It's so that you have influence with the people around you. And so if you're living a godly life, and if you're a Christian, and you're saved, and you live what you believe, then understand and trust and believe that God is working in the hearts of people around you, and they're waiting for you to tell them about Jesus Christ. You just got to have a readiness. You just got to have a willingness to tell them. God has put people into your life for the specific purpose of sharing with them the truth of the gospel. John 4:35 says, say not ye there 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. I'm not much on statistics. I don't do a whole lot of statistics. I never know if they're really true, you know, and they change so quickly. But I did look at one. And I thought this was pretty cool because it doesn't say this is exactly what happened last year. This actually says if we continue down the path we're going, this is how the year 2024 will end up. And so from worldpopulationreview.com, how many people will die in 2024, give or take, if we continue, if the death rate continues as it is now? The world death rate, deaths per day, 166,859. Deaths per hour, 6,952. Deaths per minute, 116. Statistically speaking, deaths per second, 1.93. Two people every second go into eternity. I've had people within my sphere of influence die, and I've never told them about Jesus Christ. Somebody was talking to me recently, within the last day or two, here at church. I can't remember who it was, and if it was you here, if you're here tonight, you don't have to raise your hand. I don't want to take you through that again. But I could tell whoever I was talking to, it pained them very much because they had gone to a funeral. Oh, he's not here tonight. I remember who it was. He was talking to me on Sunday, and he said he went to a funeral of a friend that he hadn't seen in 25, 30 years. And this man died at 40-something years old. And he was trying to rack his brain the whole time he was at the funeral. Did I tell him about Christ? Did I tell him about Christ? Did I tell him about Christ? And he ended up having to come away at the end of the day saying, I don't ever remember telling him about Christ. And this was the best man at his wedding. That'll haunt you, brother. That'll haunt you, sister. God did not make a mistake in allowing us to be born in this century and in this country. God did not put us on the earth for such a time as this. God put us on the earth for such a time as this. Technology is crazy. It's crazy. It is so fast, moving at breakneck speed. I mean, if I was 20, I don't know if I could keep up with it. I'm 60 and I don't even try anymore. I'm serious. About the time I think I've got something down, it's already gone and something else is taking its place. I thought a few years back I was going to do some copywriting. I love to write. So I thought, okay, maybe I'll do that for some supplement income, work at home. I said, I need to study this copywriting thing. So they said, well, you need to learn SEO, which is search engine optimization. And I said, okay, I'm going to learn search engine optimization. And so I got some books on SEO, but wait a minute. The books on SEO said, well, they just assumed I understood what HTML and all other kind of stuff. I had no clue what it was. I'm like, I am way, way beyond my depth. So I just don't do copywriting. But I think it's awesome that we have social media venues where we can promote our events or connect with family and friends from around the world. But do you reckon God allowed us to be here at this time in history just so we can show people around the world what we are having for lunch? Or what the weirdos at Walmart are doing? And I like to watch those as much as anybody else. But I'm afraid that one day we're going to have to give an account as to why we didn't use a platform where literally millions of people at the same time can hear or read about the pure, unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He put us here at this time and gave us access to this technology for us to use for His glory. And what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? Here's a thought. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. And it's a thought. I honestly can't substantiate what I'm going to say. So I'll tell you that up front. Go to Revelation 21. I can't substantiate what I'm going to say. I'm just reading in between the lines, and it's kind of my own take on it. I think maybe it might be this way. It might not. So come to your own conclusion. But in Revelation 21, Verse 3 says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. One day, brethren. Amen. One day. I look forward to that day. God shall wipe away all tears in heaven. No tears in heaven. But I want you to look back at chapter 20, and begin in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All of that before the tears are wiped away. I don't know if this is the way it's going to happen, but I just kind of think that maybe, the tears are not wiped away in heaven, and the great white throne happens, and we're present. And maybe, just maybe, we'll actually see those people that we had influence in their lives. They were within the sphere of our influence, and we never told them. And they stand before God, and God says, I never knew you. And the Bible says they're cast into the lake of fire. And can you hear them as they're being cast into the lake of fire? Sometimes I do. I hear them. James, you knew? You knew, and you never told me? James, you knew! I mean, sometimes that haunts me. I was backslidden on God for 3 years in the military. Backslidden. I know I'm going to have 3 years where the soldiers to answer for. 3 years were the men who I could have told about Jesus Christ and didn't. Our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, an internal readiness. Now, I'm convinced that most people possess an internal readiness. I believe most people, well, let me put it this way. Who here would like to see your lost family, your lost friends, and your lost coworkers saved? How many? Let's see, by a show of hands. How many would like to see your lost friends, your lost family, your lost coworkers saved? Now, let me ask you this. Do you want to see them saved bad enough to do something about it? And if you say, yes, and I will, then you do possess an internal readiness. But if you do and you won't do anything about it, you do not yet have an internal readiness. Well, preacher, I don't have a seminary degree like you do. Well, most Christians don't. And it's not a prerequisite to sharing with someone how you got saved and what Jesus did for you. Amen. I don't have the ability to memorize like you do. Well, can you read a tract? I'm too old for that. I'm too old to do that. I can't go out. Well, someone didn't get Brother Hale the memo. Someone didn't get Brother Cox. Someone didn't get Brother Wren. Someone didn't get Brother Taylor the memo. And I'm not trying to compare you with them. I'm just saying you don't. It's never too late. I'm too young for that. I want to tell you a story, and I'm going to have to shut her down. I know of a story. I heard a story where a fifth grade boy went soul winning with his church. I guess they were in a church bus, I think, or a church van. And typically the van would drop them off, and then they would knock doors, and maybe it was an apartment complex. Seems to me, I think it was an apartment complex. I could be wrong about that, but anyway, it was getting close to quitting time. The bus, the van was waiting for him to get done. And this young fifth grader said, well, one more door. Knocked on the door, and this man, adult man with a bushy red afro, met him at the door with a beer in his hand. And this fifth grade boy had a track in his hand. And this fifth grade boy told him about Jesus. And that adult man with the beer in his hand bowed his head and prayed and asked God to forgive him of his sins and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now you're thinking to yourself, can that really happen? A fifth grade boy, can that really happen? Well, I might have doubted that story too, except I know the man. The man ended up going to church, becoming very faithful, surrendered to preach the Word of God, and eventually surrendered to be a missionary to Guatemala. And I went to Bible college with him, and so did Pastor. His name is Thomas Jones. And he told me that story. And only last week, and I've used that story as examples in my sermons many times because Thomas Jones told me that story. And I've been trying to tell young people forever, you're not too young. And only last Tuesday, I learned who that fifth grade boy was. Shocked me. I mean, you could have blown me over with a straw. It was Steve Lund. How about that? I did not. He was telling me that story, and I'm like, wait a minute. What was the man's name? What was the missionary's name? He said, Thomas Jones. Didn't I fall out? I said, no way. I know him. I know that. So he told me that story. You're the guy that led. You're the kid. You're the fifth grader who led him to the Lord. Isn't that a great story? But what makes it so wonderful is that he was fighting. It wasn't God. It wasn't Steve Lund that did it. It was God. Why? Because here's a fifth grader who just trying to live for Jesus. He was embodying what truth he knew. And he strapped it around him and he wore it and it was a breastplate of righteousness. He said, I'm going to live what I believe. I believe in soul winning, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to knock some doors. And he was just doing what, and God opened up his sphere of influence and said, here's a man that needs to be saved, fifth grader. Because God said that if you'll put that sheath around you, if you'll put that sword on, if you'll put that belt of truth around, not the sword, if you put the belt of truth around you and the breastplate of righteousness and go out and live it, you don't have to worry about the devil. I'll fight your battle. I'm going to work in your behalf. Amen. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And what did he say in Matthew 28? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth, even unto the end of the age. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know what we'll accomplish when we have an internal readiness to share the gospel? Here's what will happen when we live for God with a readiness in our heart and have our feet shod with the gospel of peace. We will be instrumental in helping others find peace with God and peace in God. We will have peace within because we have the sublime privilege of being used by God to make an eternal difference in someone's life. You know what else will happen? It'll create a hunger in you to do it again and again and again. And guess who came out soul winning yesterday? That fifth grader. Because when God uses you to lead someone to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, it's almost selfish that you want to do it again and again and again. It's almost selfish. But there's nothing like it. Knowing that you made an eternal difference in somebody's life. Well, it doesn't take any imagination to understand why the Apostle Paul associated the feet with the gospel. He said in Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publish peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publish salvation. I'd wager there are many in here tonight that have the belt of truth wrapped all the way around them. I'd wager that those individuals even live it out by having on the breastplate of righteousness. There's no doubt in my mind that many in this room, if not all, are godly individuals. Now, if you haven't already, or if you haven't in a long time, why don't you take the next obvious step and ask the Holy Spirit to give you a readiness in your heart, or to renew that readiness in your heart to share the gospel, believing that God is making opportunities around you to do just that. You ought to be the first ones to the altar tonight, telling God, with His help, you're going to grab a handful of tracts. And starting tonight or tomorrow, you can start passing them out within the influence, within the sphere of your own influence. And I'm telling you, watch what God does. Watch what God does. Let's stand together. We'll get ready for an invitation. When the music begins, the invitation is open. Y'all to come tonight. If you've got people who are lost, why don't you just say tonight, I'm going to do something about it. God, give me the readiness of mind. And sometimes I know it takes courage, but you know, that's where the readiness of mind comes in. God will give it to you. Our Father, tonight we just ask you to do what only you can do. Holy Spirit of the living God, please touch hearts. Give us a concern for others. And if there's anybody in here tonight who's not saved, I pray, Lord, that they would make that their first priority. Not to worry about those next to them or around them, but to worry about their own soul and to be saved tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. With heads bowed just for a moment or two, as music plays, I've got folks who are lost, and I know it. And I want them to be saved, and I'm going to do something about it. Even if it's just giving them a track or talking to them, sending them a letter, talk to them on the phone. Maybe it's long distance, whatever. You come tonight. Lord, give me a readiness of mind. I want to have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away.
We know again that Jesus Christ is the Word. As we know more about the Lord, as we draw closer to the Lord in knowledge of Him, as we live righteous and follow in His steps, the natural expression of that, or the result of knowledge of the Lord Jesus and following Him, is we'll tell somebody about Jesus. We'll tell somebody about the Lord. What a great message.
Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
All right. We may be seated and appreciate the message tonight. If you have a prayer, the prayer card ready, if you fill that out, I'll give you kind of my list. And, of course, we've passed out the prayer list too. But, again, Jacob Mooney was able to go home and remember him in prayer as he recovers and as his wife takes care of him. Paul Gale, remembering he needs a heart transplant and be in prayer for him. Shailene Steiger began radiation treatments this week, so remember her in prayer. Miss Leanne Goebel, I believe you began your treatments this week, right? I believe, yeah? No? Not yet. Keep her in your prayers. Suzette Bunch, again, still gone there at dealing with her family at the loss of her dad there in the Philippines. Being in prayer for our expecting mothers. I know Brandy Gore this week, just remember her in prayer. Hayden Biddle, we have a praise that she went to orthopedic yesterday and things look really good as the collarbone's healing correctly and going well. Amen. That was good. Miss Jean Gibson, it's been a while since we reported on her, and Brother Cox was telling me she's doing a little better, and they're actually doing some physical therapy with her, and she's making some progress. Remember her in prayer. And then Brenda Gregory, recovering again, the medical missions team, remembering them in prayer. Miss Judy England asked prayer for her cousin, Margie Bradfield, having a PET scan tomorrow. Remember this one in prayer. And I mentioned this one last week as well, but remember Vicki Griffin asked prayer for Tim Ellison, who's in the hospital on a ventilator. Remember him in prayer, has COPD, but did not really know it. I mean, this is kind of a sudden, remember him in prayer, okay? Tim Ellison. And then two preachers, Pastor Bob Mayberry He's the pastor of West Worth Baptist Church, and is on hospice. Remember him in prayer. And then I don't know if you guys have, some of you I know this, but Pastor Todd Lassiter of Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington has cancer. And he announced to his church Sunday about that. And so Brother Lassiter's been a great friend. Went to school with Brother Lassiter at Norris years ago. And so remember Brother Lassiter in prayer. Remember Trinity Baptist in Arlington. Remember the Mayberry family as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you that you are indeed and still are the great physician. I pray that you'd be with Brother Jacob as he continues to recover. Lord, just strengthen him, be with him. And we pray for Paul Gale, the need there for heart transplant, that you provide again the need there, the wisdom there. Pray for Miss Shailene and Miss Leanne as they continue to deal with cancer. I pray, God, that you'd be Miss Suzette Bunch, protect her there in the Philippines, be with her as she deals with her family. And just give her that peace and her family peace. We pray that you be with our expecting mothers, and Lord, that every baby, of course, that is born, but honor and glorify you. We thank you for just a good report on Miss Hayden Biddle and Miss Jean Gibson. Pray for Miss Brenda Gregory as she continues to recover. Be with the medical missions team as we head out tomorrow night. Lord, may you keep us safe, and Lord, may you use us and with every opportunity to lead others to you. We pray for Brother Mayberry and the church there, and Brother Lassiter and his church. God, may you direct and lead and guide. May we be with these two men, and we especially pray with Brother Lassiter that you'd be with the doctors and give them wisdom and the treatments that he needs. We pray for Tim Ellison and the family there, and the hospital wisdom there, and that he would recover from and be able to come off the ventilator. We pray for Margie Bradfield and the PET scan tomorrow. And Lord, I do pray that you'd be with our many families in our church that are traveling. Many will be traveling, heading out tomorrow. And Lord, I pray, God, that you continue to protect and be with them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, ushers, if you come forward, we'll take up the offering tonight. And read the bulletin. There's stuff in there you ought to know about. And so if you haven't signed up for Vacation Bible School, I'd encourage you to do that. Help work in Vacation Bible School. Be a part of Vacation Bible School. You don't have to be a member more than a week. Honestly, just jump in. If you've been a member here 20 years, jump in. Let's all jump in together. At Vacation Bible School, we need about 100 volunteers to do that. So encourage you to be there. There's no organized outreach this Saturday. Don't forget about that. And then Friday is the Haslett 4th of July celebration. And we had some who volunteered, but if you're good? Okay, so Brother Stone says he's good. He's got enough help there on Friday night with that deal. And what we do in that particular, all the city events, we participate, we have a booth, pass out a little gift of some sort with a track in it, amen, and with information about the church, and we're just trying to get the gospel out. So it's a good opportunity. Two other things here. I don't know why I have that circled, and I can't remember what that's about. Oh, the new building is staked out. If you want to see where it's going to be, the little red stakes, orange. Yes, orange stakes out in front of the building on this side. You can see where the building's going to be at. Brother J.C. House, we got a letter from him, and I've had an opportunity to text him back and forth, but he has officially resigned as an evangelist. And so be in prayer for Brother House and his health. And what a great and mighty warrior he's been, a preacher of the Word of God and friend, a close friend, and I appreciate him so very much. And then our missionaries of the week, the Valerio family and the Stevens family, remember these in prayer if you would. And Brother Clovis is going to come and lead us in prayer.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving and just pray, Lord, that you would use it to your honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Building progress, so we're waiting right now on a grading permit, And so we have followed up again with this Friday will be 3 weeks since that grading permit was submitted. And we were told originally that when we submitted the grading permit that we could get a permit within 2 or 3 weeks. So we want to hold Hassett to the fire a little bit. And so we've emailed back and forth a little bit. So hopefully, prayerfully, pray about that, would you? And that would allow us to start moving dirt. And then the next step, of course, is getting the completed set of plans for this building and that we can submit not only to the city for a permit, but also to the bank. And so that's probably 2 months away at least. We're about a month into that. And so that's kind of where things are right now. It's a good place to be. Norris, the building out at Norris is a little ahead of us, maybe. They're working with Fort Worth. They're also waiting for a grading permit, and they've been waiting for 2 months. And so working on that as well. So be in prayer for both of these projects. On our end, pray for that grading permit. That would basically allow us, again, to move the dirt, to get all the grading ready for the new building and for the second driveway. And basically at that point, you can also do all the flat work, which means we could lay the new driveway and lay it and the drive coming across and parking lots and do all that up front. And so keep that in your prayers. Brother Stone gave me a minute or two, so there's your update. Let's all stand, be dismissed in prayer. Pray for the medical missions team. Heading out tomorrow night. What time is our flight? 8:40 p.m. So keep us in your prayers. Pray we can all sleep on the plane going over there. Because we hit the ground running when we get there, so it's going to be something. All right. We're going to have Grandpa come and dismiss us in prayer. Have my dad come and dismiss us. Brother, he don't trust me because sometimes I'll call on somebody else. But my dad is taking the Berean class, if you're interested in that class. So appreciate his willingness to do that.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you're a loving God, a caring God, and a saving God. We thank you for opportunities to witness and pray, God, we'd all take those opportunities seriously and take advantage of them. Go with us as we leave this place and keep us safe through the week. In Jesus' name, amen.